The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
A guest is joining us from Flowery Branch right now, part of a big event going on the NFL Network and NFL.com. He is our friend Steve Weisch on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Steve, always a pleasure. It's that time of year again. Training camps running in full force.
That's right, gentlemen, man. Great to hear your voice. I'm glad, you know, you guys reached out. I'm glad to be back on. And training camp is in full force. You know, I started out at the Raiders last week, been to the Niners, and I'm here with the Falcons the next couple of days.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. By the way, you can follow Steve at Weisch, W-I-C-H-E-89. That's his Twitter account. Don't forget, Steve, tell everybody what's starting at 9 o'clock on the NFL Network. Look, everybody's into miking up people, and it's going to work and sometimes not work as much, but sometimes you're going to get pure gold. You guys are doing 13 hours of camp coverage tomorrow.
Yes, back to football Saturday. The NFL launched this initiative last year. It was a big hit. And, you know, anytime you get – you know, people mic'd up, players mic'd up, coaches mic'd up, you'll get some just unbelievable sound, you know, of, you know, not necessarily a play call, but, you know, players having conversations or a coach hyping a player up or, you know, somebody who made a mistake, you know, getting his butt chewed out a little bit. So it's real good stuff because it brings the fan to places they can't normally get.
Yeah,
to.
I agree.
You know, I'm glad we're doing that event.
There's nothing better than hearing a guy yell at Oak School, "Get off my field." No, you can tell my
story. You do love when a coach says that.
Yeah, you can tell your story later, but get off my field right now.
Right. Have your asthma attack on another. It was Jimmy Johnson once said while he was mic'd up.
Steve Weisch with us from the NFL Network on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. League-wide, what's the reputation that Arthur Smith has?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are just wondering, you know, they know he knowingly walked into a situation where – you know, the cap situation was bad and this and that. So I think people are just kind of wondering to see what he's going to do when he's got a full deck. I mean, I think he gained a lot of respect last year, winning 7 wins with that team that didn't have a ton of threats, lost Calvin Ridley, and managed to, you know, get Cordarrelle Patterson to become an offensive star and things like this. So I think he earned a lot of respect that way, you know, but they know this team's, you know, got even bigger challenges with a quarterback change and some of the issues on the offensive line. But I think people respect what he did and want to see what he's going to get through this year. And then next year, when they've got salary cap space and they can really retool the roster, how he takes things to the next level.
Their margin of error, because of, we've called it a lack of talent, is really small. But if you're smart, they added games to their win total, Steve, because they were smarter than the year before, where it was an exceptionally bad year in terms of closing out games. So you can win games by being smart, but you can't rely on that in this league.
No, you got to have talent. I mean, there's a lot of smart teams that, you know, don't have a wide receiver who can catch a 10-yard slant, pop it for 60 yards, score a touchdown. But being smart helps. You know, you see a team like the Cowboys, which were the most penalized team in the NFL, end their season against the Niners on kind of a brain cramp by Dak at the end of the game. I mean, but that was consistent with some of the mistakes that they made. So you've got to be smart. That's why the Patriots always give themselves a chance. They don't commit a lot of pre-snap penalties. They don't turn the ball over, and they don't make dumb mistakes at inopportune times. And, you know, and that's what I think the Falcons, you know, they got through. They did a lot of positive things, as you said, but they competed like hell. And a lot of times, you know, you get in certain games by you never forsaking a play that can win you the game.
Steve Weisch is with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. I know that they said, Charles London, the quarterback coach, that Marcus Mariota is the starter as of right now. Do you think, though, we see Ridder start before all is said and done this year?
I mean, you could. I mean, you know, first off, you got to look at Marcus's history. You know, the durability issues are real. And, you know, you also have to look at the first 7 games on the schedule and you say to yourself, you want a veteran player or a rookie to be thrown into that gauntlet? So, you know, I think Marcus's familiarity with Arthur Smith, with familiarity of knowing opposing personnel, that's going to be a big help. But, yeah, I think at some point they've got to find out if Desmond Ridder can play. I mean, if their season is kind of, you know, gets a little bit sideways, they've got to do that at some point to see if whether they need to go back in the draft or go on free agency and get another quarterback next year.
Hey, Steve, do you like the way the draft is run? I mean, it's been this way for a long time. The worst team, there's no ping-pong balls. There's none of that stuff. There's tiebreakers, perhaps. And do you like the way the contracts are set up for the guys in the first round? Is it as fair and equitable as it can be in the NFL?
Well, it is. But what's made it a lot more interesting the past 2 years is the way these teams trade, are making trades without any conscience. Right? I mean, they're like, okay, we need to move up to get a quarterback, and we need to move up to – so let's just give up the farm and go do it. Let's give up, you know, look what the Niners did last year, all the picks that they gave up to go get Trey Lance. I mean, you have a different era of general managers who, they sure, everyone covets draft picks, but they will move draft picks in a heartbeat now to go get either an established player who's going to help them like the Rams do, or a team that's going to, you know, forsake draft picks to move up in the draft. And so I think that's made it just 10 times more exciting than it really was. When you had general managers who were like, we're not going to give up, you know, our first-round draft pick this year to move up to number three to get the best quarterback in the draft.
Can I ask you, have you seen Les Snead's paperwork? Because this seems like one of the great magic tricks of all time.
I was going to say, you stole my thunder. He's a wizard out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, him and Tony Pastore is their cap guy. And then the Saints as well. I mean, what the Saints can do to massage the cap is amazing. And a lot of it depends on if you've got cash wealthy owners. If you've got owners who are willing to lay down that big bonus money, then all the rest of the contract is just kind of, you know, bendable Play-Doh. It's the bonus money that's the big thing. And that's why, like, when the Browns guaranteed, like, Sean Watson's contract, all the other owners were like, uh-oh. Because now, is that going to set precedent? It looks more and more like a one-off because, you know, Kyler Murray's deal and things like that wasn't fully guaranteed. But what the Rams do is just amazing because they've got an owner who just spends gobs and gobs of cash so they can put bonus money down and then finesse that over the duration of a salary cap to allow them to get great players and win ball games.
I know you're not a just shoot from the hip guy, and I greatly appreciate it because there's enough bait click guys. But have you gone on the record as to what you think Deshaun Watson's suspension might be? And because the Kyler Murray press conference, and I'm not really sure what the hell that was, except I'm insulted because I think he was actually talking down to me, and I'm only kind of in the media. Are you on record as to what that was yesterday?
Well, you know, look, in terms of Deshaun Watson, we just don't know. I mean, we don't know if the suspension is going to come down today. I think the longer this goes on, there's a greater feeling that it's not going to be a season-long suspension. But nobody knows what Judge Sue Robinson is going to do. So I'm not going to go on record and tell you this or that because I've got no clue. It's just simply throwing stuff up against the wall. Now, in terms of Kyler Murray's news conference, he shouldn't be – you know, I know he felt like he was under attack because people are like, you know, why would the team put that clause in there if he didn't study? But the key thing is he agreed to it.
Yeah.
He agreed to it. You do not sign a contract. You guys have signed contracts. I have signed contracts. You do not sign them unless you're okay with all of the language in there. He agreed to it. And then the fact that the team rescinded it because it made him look bad, that did nothing because that toothpaste is out of the tube. So anytime he goes through a bad stretch of games, like, oh, is Kyler playing Call of Duty or is he in his playbook? I mean, the damage is done. So that's just as weird and odd of a scenario as I have ever
seen. Did you feel he was scolding you the way that I kind of felt he was scolding me?
No, I mean, look, I mean, look, I'm a Kyler Murray fan. Like, I think he's one hell of a player, and I'm with him. He didn't get this far without doing some type of preparation. But at the same time, you hear things. He's not putting in Peyton Manning hours. He had the quote in the New York Times last year saying he doesn't need to watch a ton of film because he's got the savant quality where he can see something and he's good. You know, so, again, I keep going back to him and his agent agreed to this. So why is he getting so upset that it became public when he agreed to it?
Julio Jones, you were around him for a while. Steve Weiss from the NFL Network with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line on the practice field yesterday. He's always seemed to be a guy that isn't going to let outside pressure affect him. But does he feel like, to a certain extent now, his legacy is on the line with how it went last year in Tennessee?
I don't know if that's how he feels. I don't think so. But we'll see. I mean, because it's funny. You know, I think a lot of us want to judge Julio the end of his career based on his last couple of years where he's been injured, he hasn't produced. But, guys, he's playing with Tom Brady, man. I mean, this guy took Antonio Brown from the ashes. Right? He took Randy Moss from the ashes. So I would not be surprised, even though I'm not putting a bar up there, like a Pro Bowl or a career year out of Julio, I would not be surprised if he bounces back because of the quarterback that he's playing with, the way that guy relates to people, inspiring them to play the best that they could possibly play at whatever age they're
right,
at.
So no problem.
I wouldn't write that off.
Okay. I happen to agree. I think you're going to see a fantastic year out of Julio
Jones.
Well,
that means he's
It'll sicken a lot of Falcons fans, but I agree with you, Steve. Yeah, Tom Brady's going to get it out of him.
That means he's on the field on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I'm not so sure that he believes he needs to be, or he hasn't believed it for too long now, where that's not problematic.
It goes back to the Tom Brady factor, though,
doesn't
it?
Why does he have to be on the field Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday if he can go out and deliver?
Well, he doesn't.
I mean, I'm sitting there saying.
I know. I don't think he's delivered. I'll go so far as to say I know what he was at his best. I think at the end of the day, if he doesn't fix this, he is going to be talked about as a Jake. People are going to say, my God, what could have been? I listen, and to me, it sounds personal, and it's not personal. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of defending the idea that Julio Jones, to me, I think he screwed the Falcons. I think Thomas Dimitroff did two dumb things, giving him brand-new contracts. That's on the general manager, and that's on the team. But I don't think Julio Jones paid dividends at all around here. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he goes down there and it is a flop with Tampa Bay, maybe so. Maybe so. I just have the feeling, man. I know how that building operates. I've talked to too many people in that building of the Tom Brady effect. And there's evidence, you know, exhibit A, B, and C of him, you know, taking guys whose careers were kind of down and resurrecting them. Now, he couldn't do it with guys like Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, but he's done it with a lot of other players. I mean, Wes Welker was cut a couple times, and look what he did with that.
Yeah.
So, again, guys react differently when they're with the GOAT.
What do you think of the youngish version of the NFL head coach and to some degree the youngish version of offensive coordinators, maybe a little bit more than the defensive coordinators in the league?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't knock them. They're winning. I mean, from Sean McVay to Kyle Shanahan to Matt LaFleur to Zach Taylor, who are all from the same kind of family and tree, but they're winning. And there's a lot of people who think Mike McDaniel, you know, I was just with the Niners. They're like, we're going to miss him, and he's probably going to do big things now with the Dolphins. So, I mean, a lot of it deals with the organization. You know, Robert Saleh is a young coach with the Jets. That's an organization that has not won. If he's able to win there, that goes to say, you know, another thing. But a lot of it, when you talk to the players, deals with the communication. Like, I live in Los Angeles. I'm around the Rams a lot. And they're like, the way Sean McVay can communicate to players – no matter what position they play, what side of the ball on, is different than anyone they've been around. And I think that's why these younger coaches are so in favor with these owners, because they can connect with maybe ways that older coaches can't.
If there was a right fit for Matt Ryan, is Indy the best fit?
Love it. I love it. You know, it's a good fit. He's in a dome. He's with a good organization. He's with a good coach. He's a very good run-based offensive line. And, guys, they've got a defense. Like, we're not talking enough about this. They added Stephon Gilmore, who's got game left, and they added Yannick Ngakoue, who's one of the most disruptive pass rushers. Yeah, people say, well, he only gets 8.5, 9 sacks. Look at the forced fumbles he generates. That's a big deal. So I think, you know, and you put him with DeForest Buckner and Quiddy Pays, a guy kind of set for a breakout. I think he went to a perfect situation in a division that's very winnable. It's going to be tough coming out of the AFC, but the Colts, that's a team, especially if Shaquille Leonard, the middle linebacker, comes back fully healthy too. That's a team we could be talking about coming out of the AFC.
All right, last thing. If I take, because of age, if I take Tom Brady out of the equation, Aaron Rodgers out of the equation, I play the street game. They're all on the playground. They're all free agents. I don't care what your conditions are and why. Which quarterback are you taking for the next whatever amount of years that you'd be happy with? Is there a guy in the league that you think is either there and it's a no-brainer, or is there somebody right on the cusp but you say, no, I'll take that guy?
Are you talking young guys?
I'll give you the condition. Guys? I'm going to take Brady and Rodgers out of it because of age and money and everything else. I'm going to take them out. So we're talking about Burrow. We're talking about Allen. We're talking about Patrick, obviously. We're talking about Justin. you know, there's that group of guys that Trevor hasn't done enough, Fields hasn't done enough. I'm assuming the four maybe that I mentioned might be the group that you're going to have to choose from.
Yeah. That's kind of the lot I'm picking from. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's ridiculous no matter what people say about him. And if I have to go to my number two, people may call me crazy because the body of work may not be there, is Joe Burrow. I have seen Joey Burrow play in person, and he's that guy. He's that dude. He is a real player. For them, for what they did last year, getting to the Super Bowl is largely on him, and the way he connects with his teammates as well, he's special.
You can't buy that, by the way. You know, there's an innate ability
either
to relate to men. Yeah.
Either you have marbles or you don't, and he's got them.
Yep.
All right, Steve, so 13 training
tomorrow.
Camps, 13 hours.
Back together Saturday on the NFL Network.
It all starts at 9 a.m.
And again, make sure I have it right, at Weiche, W-Y-C-H-E, 89, if people want to actually follow you. How many more camps are you going to go to, Steve?
So I will be at the Cleveland Browns on Monday and Tuesday. I'll be at the Pro Football Hall of Fame following that for the next couple of days. And then I will be back with the Falcons the week leading up to their preseason opener at Detroit.
How much more do you like the road than maybe more studio work?
You know, it's great because you always have to smell the grass, right? I'm big on relationship building and meeting people and things like that, so I like it. But I also like being in the studio as well because it's a little bit more controlled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm kind of at the age now where I've done a lot. I can add kind of an analysis perspective take on things. I'm not a hot take guy, but I can take all the experience and the information I gather and really put it in perspective and hopefully educate the viewer.
Well, Steve, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the work, and hopefully we can talk again in a couple of weeks or so.
It'd be awesome, guys. Great catching up.
Thanks, Steve.
Same here. Steve Weiche from NFL.com and the NFL Network at Weiche, W-Y-C-H-E-89. You can follow him on Twitter.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.